like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, we kind of saw this coming with former Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett, based on his interview he did with National Morning Show last year after they won the national championship. He, of course, got into some trouble in January, got arrested in Dallas for public intoxication. He was talking about that on Friday, or this morning, actually, at the NFL's scouting combine. Listen, there were doubts as to whether this guy could make it to the next level. But you add that in, and then you add his appearance last year where it seemed like he was a little tipsy. I got to think that teams are going to stay away from him. I don't see him getting drafted. Again, even if he had not had any of these issues, there was still a debate whether he'd get drafted. Maybe he would, late rounds. But you pair all this stuff into it, I don't see how he gets drafted, man. Last night was a big night for the Dallas Mavericks. Luka and Kyrie combined for 82 points in the Mavs' win over the 76ers. And the Mavs, listen, that's how it's supposed to work. And it looked good last night. They were able to pair those two together very well. And if they can get that going, then they could be a very scary team in the Western Conference. So look out for that. That's going to be another interesting storyline to follow as we get closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. Calais Campbell, he said, Ravens defensive end, said this week that Jackson's wanting back on. He wants to get a deal done, Lamar Jackson, and that's the most important part. He said sometimes guys who are part of a team and don't want to be there anymore use free agency as an opportunity to go elsewhere, but he wants to be with the Ravens. The question is, will the Ravens spend that kind of money knowing that there's a decent shot he could get hurt the way he plays? You don't want to sign a guy to a long-term 4-5 year deal, and then a year or two in, he gets a season-ending injury and is never the same again. So we'll see. Negotiations between Jackson and the Ravens began 25 months ago. 25 months has been the when these things started. And I'm not seeing any realistic sign that they're going to get a deal done. You're hearing both sides really talk about this, and there's just a lot of talk right now. We want him back. He wants to be back. But nothing is done just yet. So we'll see if actually anything comes of it. Not national news, but local, somewhat local. Our guy Dalton Connect led the Big Sky Conference in scoring. He was 6th in rebounding. Does not make the first team all conference. I guess I would ask, who's the guy that took his spot? You know, what are his numbers like? But, you know, leading a league in scoring is important, but as we've talked about with the Joker, it's not the end-all be-all, so I'm looking at who else was that guy. But Dalton was a sensational player this year. Is it the record? Is that what it is?
Possibly the record, but if you go back to last year, Dalen Kuntz didn't get Big Sky Player of the Year, so is there a little bit of about the UNC Bears, according to the Big Sky?
Maybe.
We'll see on Saturday.
If they would have had a better record, then maybe.
Dalen Kuntz also made honorable mention.
Dalen had an interesting year this year. It wasn't the year he thought it was.
Not as good as last year. He had a slow start, inconsistency in the middle parts, but I think the last 2 months, he's turned it back on and turned into the old Dalen.
I think so. You're going to need that tomorrow night, definitely, going up against Portland State. And then if you win that game, yeah, you move on to the second round, see if you can pull off an upset against Montana State. And away we go. Make it interesting. But first things first, you got to beat Portland State. All right, that'll do it for the Lunch Rush today. Eastside Chris says, the Brady Hull Show gets disrespected by making a player attend a shoot-around instead of an interview. Don't they know you're the blowtorch of NoCo Area Sports? We didn't get blown off. He is going to be on the show.
We're going to have him on at 1:30 today. But, I mean, you got to have your shoot-arounds. A rookie leaving shoot-around for a radio interview, no matter how important it is, probably not a good look right now. Can't do that. Ja Morant, all the drama surrounding him, he's good to go. However, Katie Wingy reported that he's listed on the injury report, listed as available tonight against the Nuggets, but he has a nasal fracture face mask that he's going to be wearing tonight. So how will that impact him? How will all the other drama that's going on? We know this was a while ago, the event that happened, the incident with him involving basically a fight with a 17-year-old kid. I don't know if that's going anywhere. It kind of just sounds like they might not be able. It's a he said type of deal. And it sounds like it was a brawl. So I don't think they're going to go anywhere with this, do you?
No, I don't think the NBA will actually do anything until there's some finality in this case. But watch those elbows tonight, guys. Don't accidentally hit Ja in the face.
No, don't do that. Bad things are going to happen. This is going to be a good game, though. I'm really excited about it. The Nuggets are 5-point favorites, according to ESPN. 5.5 on a few different betting sites that if you want to look at. Go vote on theholeshow.com. That's our poll question. Do they cover that tonight? Do they go off? This feels like this could potentially be a big night for the Denver Nuggets. With all the crap that's been going on all week about Joker and stuff, maybe they take all their frustrations out on the floor.
Yeah, it's kind of been leading up to this, you know, primetime on ESPN game. I believe Richard Jefferson will be on the call tonight, so we'll have fun with that. See if he says anything positive.
Good. Make him believe, then. Just all you can do.
But, you know, Jokic addressed it. Malone definitely addressed it. A couple of teammates have talked about it this week with the narratives and the stat padding and now hockey assists for some reason. But it's fuel to the fire for this Nuggets team who, you know, they're the number one seed in the West, top three team in the NBA, and they're still getting disrespected with a two-time MVP. And so now you get to go show it out against one of the rising stars in the league in Ja Morant and, you know, the number two Memphis Grizzlies team, also a measure of revenge from last weekend.
Yeah, Grizzlies smoked him last week. You know, and I had Popeye Jones on yesterday, and I said, hey, you know, isn't that just how it goes sometimes? Like, even the greatest teams in the league, which the Nuggets certainly are going to have those nights where it's just not there. And, you know, he said, yeah, that's kind of what it was. That we just didn't have it. And that happens every team. You know, there's going to be a game. You see it in the playoffs, too. That's why superior teams they'll win 4-1 because there was a game where it just wasn't there and that team was fighting for their life to win. They're going to be. I think they're going to be fired up for this one. We'll see. I am curious to see how Joker handles this because this is, I don't know if you want to call it adversity. Joker doesn't seem like he can ever buy into adversity because he is just a matter-of-fact basketball player. He just suits up, and like he says, do what it takes to get the ball into the basket. I don't think there's a lot of, oh, I'm going to prove my doubters wrong, and I'm going to do all these things and come at me. Pounding chest when he makes a big play. You don't see that a lot from the Joker. When he does show emotion, it's pretty rare that it happens. But this is something different. This is the national media, who he doesn't care about, but still, it is different.
He addresses
they're questioning his sportsmanship. They're questioning his teammateship. They're questioning they're bringing the race card into question. So I just wonder how he'll take it. I know he addressed it. How does it affect him on the floor?
Yeah, he doesn't actively pay attention to it, but he is.
Well, clearly does. He heard it.
He's told these things. You know, whether it's a media member within the Nuggets or a PR person or whoever, they say, hey, the press is going to ask you about this narrative. He may not have any idea about it, but he has to get a rundown. Oh, this is what so-and-so said. So you can answer it properly, and we get a response like, oh, yeah, I'm stat padding.
Yeah, whatever. But nobody asked him about that directly. He brought it up. He brought up the stat padding. So he's hearing it. He's paying attention to it. And that's what I'm saying. This is different than, well, Joker doesn't have the numbers, or he's not in shape, or he's not this, he's not that. That stuff I don't think he really cared about. This came up, and he heard it. He addressed it first, which is why it was not a shock in a bad way. A shock in... Oh,
We haven't seen that side of him yet.
That was the one. Because, again, he is a basketball purist, as Malone stated. If you want to insult a player that plays a game in the most purest form, you insult that. You insult the actual integrity of how they play. And that is what Kendrick Perkins did. He insulted the integrity first by saying he's a stat padder, which is obviously ridiculous. Then he insulted him as a player by saying this is a race thing. And that those are different discussions. Joker can ignore 99% of this. How will he take it to the floor? There was controversy surrounding his first MVP, and then he not even that bad a controversy. It was just a lot of people didn't think he should get it, and then he gets, you know, he gets knocked out by the Suns. There was frustration there. Remember, he gets the final foul, and he basically slaps. Was it Booker? Was it Booker? I can't remember. I don't think it was. Booker got in his face. He slapped somebody, knocked him down. That's the foul that got him out. I felt for the dude. Like, I felt different about it. Like, I was like, all the emotion and everything, just trying to get your team to where you want to be, and losing Jamal Murray in that season, going out that way, and you got all the critics going against you. And, you know, for some critics, they felt like they were proven right on the way that Suns game went down. And a lot of times critics do that. But again, it's a regular season award. Don't try to change it. Like Richard Jefferson's trying to add stats. Don't change the award. I am curious to see, is Joker truly bulletproof? Will he let the noise that finally crept in, no matter how small the crack, it finally crept into his brain. How does he handle that on the floor? Because this is the first time we've seen a crack in Nikola Jokic's, you know, we're drowning out the outside noise. This is the first time we've seen it. So how does he handle it on the floor? I'm not saying it's a bad thing that he addressed it. I'm glad he did. But how does he handle that on the floor? Does he take it and run with it and go off? And he's like, this angry Joker is scarier than regular Joker? Or does he let it bug him a little bit?
I think he will let it bug him enough to motivate himself on the floor. But we've seen when Jokic goes into takeover mode, he is almost unstoppable. When he gets the ball and says, I'm going to put this ball into that basket and you are not going to stop me, no matter how tall you are. And if I can't get it over you, I'm going to go around you or I'm going to pass it to a teammate.
Big point total tonight for him?
I could see, I'm going to go 35 points.
You think he just goes off?
35 points, go 13 rebounds, 14 assists.
And a million assists. Do it. Just do it.
Say more rebounds, more assists than rebounds.
Just go.
Stick it to him.
Nationally televised game. Just go off tonight. You've had everybody and their mother talking about you. Some are actually bringing legitimate arguments as to why he shouldn't be, which, again, we can have those arguments. Some are creating false narratives. Some are creating new stats. Hey, he doesn't have this stat. I got some news. Kyle Fredrickson, our Avalanche insider. Cale Makar is going to be back in the lineup tomorrow in Dallas, according to Jared Bednar. That is great news for this Avs team as they try to go on this run and put themselves in a great spot in the Western Conference. 19 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to take a look again at that CSU football schedule. We talked to Kevin a little bit about that yesterday, but how are we feeling? You know, just looking at the schedule and the potential wins there, is this a bowl team? Just, again, it's March 3rd, and we like to do this. What's our initial feeling just looking at that schedule? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new ad in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Colorado State football schedule came out yesterday, the Mountain West schedule came out, but now we've got it set. We know exactly what the Rams will be facing to start next season. And you know, we like to do this. And Angel, just looking at records from a year ago, that's kind of where I like to go with this. And again, this is not knowing who's up and coming for certain teams. I mean, I haven't done that kind of deep research yet. But just looking at who they were as a team last year, what are our thoughts? How can they win going forward? First game of the season is against a Pac-12 team in Washington State. Washington State smoked CSU last year. They beat them 38-7. They ended up winning enough games. I think they won 7 games, got into a bowl game. They got smoked by Fresno State in the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl. That was the bowl that they were in. So Washington State, a 7-win team from a year ago. That's at home. It's so difficult because did the offensive line get fixed? Because if that offensive line got fixed, I know they added a bunch of guys. That doesn't mean it's fixed. Then I think that a Clay Millen and Torrey Horton and these guys could really light up the scoreboard. And then defensively, they were pretty good, but they lost again 38-7 last year, and Washington State was a bowl team. Did they win that game?
I think they can be competitive in it. When I think back to their game against Michigan last year, that was ugly.
Oof.
But that was obviously, you know, first time with Jay Norvell.
Right.
I think having another year under your belt in this system, hopefully the O-line's improved. Clay Millen and that offense, another year working together. You start off at home, I'd expect a fairly decent crowd for the home opener at Canvas.
I think so.
Probably keep it competitive for a little bit, but Washington State, they're just a step up in terms of talent.
Yeah, CSU got better at the end. You know, they beat New Mexico, which, bad football team. Somewhat close against Air Force. Tight game against Wyoming. Really, you just didn't get the offense going. If you can get the offense going. So I'm going to say 0-1 to start. 0-1 to start. You there? 0-1?
Yeah.
Then they got the bye right after that.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Go
for the biggest game in the state.
Go lick your wounds after that game. You're already going to rest up for your bye. You should be fresh by the time you play the Buffs. Do they beat the Colorado Buffaloes?
It's going to be very interesting to see where both these teams are at. I think if CSU can be competitive against Washington State, you might feel a little bit better, and I think they'll definitely have the confidence. But CU has 2 tough games before this, at TCU and then home against Nebraska. They're going to be, you know, juiced up on the wins or losses at that point. But it's a rivalry game. You're bringing little brother to your house.
Mm.
You got to treat him right. I think CU will ultimately win this game.
Yeah, I do too.
I do expect it to be competitive.
I don't know. You know, everything they're telling us is that these recruits, they're all amazing players. He's got what? He got 2 5-stars and tons of great transfers coming in.
The stars go away when the season starts.
I want to pick CSU to win just because I want madness. And I'm not, listen, I'm probably more of a CSU guy, but I'm 100% here for primetime and CU. I'm very entertained by this.
I think it's better if CSU wins this game.
Oh, it will throw everything for a loop. Just absolutely crazy.
And if CU lost, it wouldn't really hurt them if that's their only loss.
No. If CU lost to CSU? Unless CSU goes on and is terrible the rest of the way. Then they're going to look back and be like, you lost to that game. You lost to that team.
You beat them, so.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you said if that was your only loss was to CSU.
Yeah, if CU won every game except that one, wouldn't hurt.
That wouldn't keep them out of the playoffs?
No. If they end up going to the Pac-12 championship and winning, then they'd be fine.
That'd just be one bad loss, early season.
Yep.
Hangover after Nebraska TCU.
Rivalry team, whatever.
I can't pick CSU to win that game.
I don't know what CU looks like yet. So
these aren't my official picks, by the way. This is just where we are today. You know, we got spring ball coming up still. I haven't even been to spring ball. I can tell you so much more from spring ball. Watching Clay Millen throw it when he's wearing shorts and shoulder pads. I'll be able to come back and say, oh, yeah, this team's going undefeated. I can tell by my studies at spring.
Routes on air look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. Then they're at Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee went on, actually, they were a pretty good team. I mean, they got into a bowl game. They were in the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. They beat San Diego State in that game. Middle Tennessee, if you remember, they beat Miami shortly after beating CSU. So that's the next game for Colorado State at Middle Tennessee, week four. I mean, again, this is not knowing who's coming back for Middle Tennessee or anything like that. I picked CSU to beat them last year. Do they beat? Is that their first win? Again, it's
on the road.
CUSA team.
That's tough. Middle Tennessee is a very good football
team. They really are, man. I mean, they won a lot of games last year. They won eight. What'd they win? Eight games? Seven? They won seven games and then they won their bowl game. So you go no? No go CSU?
No go.
So they're 0-3?
Yeah. I see a win coming.
I can't have them go 0-3. I'm going to say they get revenge. They beat Middle Tennessee. They lost 34-19 in that game. And if you remember, Clay Millen and Torrey Horton went off in that second half to start because they were down. Were they down like 28-0 or something like that? And then they quick three scores. So I think that was the game where it's like, okay, that's what Fort Air Raid could be. So give me a dub there. I'll go 1-2. Then it's, who's that?
Utah Tech.
Utah Tech, are they any good?
The Trailblazers.
What conference are they in?
I have no idea.
Are they in a conference?
They could be FCS.
Well, they're going to win that game then. I mean, where is Utah Tech? I mean, obviously Utah.
Is in St. George, Utah.
And then what are they in? Do we know? We don't know. The Billy Bob Conference? I don't know. They're not in that one. They're not in that one. They're not in that one. I don't know.
Oh, they're in the WAC.
Oh.
Western Athletic.
Oh. I should have known that. Utah Tech last year. Why do we never talk about this team? Are they just not
Utah Tech?
Yeah.
I don't think they're a big school.
They're just a tech school, right? They won four games last year. They beat Chadron State. They beat Stephen F. Austin. They beat Southern Utah. They beat Tarleton.
So they're like a Big Sky level
program. Yeah. So I'm saying CSU's 2-2. After their non-conference schedule. How about that? Where are you going? You going with that?
Yeah. See a win there.
So you got them. That's their first win of the season. So now the first conference game, week six, they'll be at Utah State on October 7th at Utah State. And Utah State last year was a decent team. They were a bowl team. They were 6-7. They were 5-3. Give me the Rams to win that game. I'm going to go Rams win that game. They're 1-0 in the Mountain West Conference.
I like that. Rams okay. Get revenge yeah. From last year.
Yeah. Pretty much all these games are going to be revenge tour, except for like two of them. Boise State at CSU. No, it's not going. They're not going to do it. They've never beat Boise State. I don't think next year's the year, is it? The Broncos like were 10-4, 8-0 in the conference last year. Did they win it? Was it them or Fresno State that won the Mountain West Championship? It was Fresno State, wasn't it?
Yes.
Give me the Broncos to win that game.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, CSU is going to be an improved football team, but I don't think they're going to be at the level of Boise State just yet. CSU at UNLV?
Win.
Yeah. Like that. UNLV was a 5-win team last year. Okay. We'll go dub there. I got them 2-0 or 2-1 in the conference. Air Force at CSU. Rivalry time. Does Jay Norvell get it right when it comes to the rivals? We already have them losing to one rival, which is the Buffs. Air Force averages like 8 wins in a season.
I've learned my lesson last year not to pick against Air Force.
Well, I'm not going to talk about their average wins again because we know what kind of nightmare that was for a week around here.
They average seven wins a season.
They average like 4 wins a season. They're terrible. Because if you... No, Air Force is tough, man. At CSU, though. You know what? You know what? Give me the Rams to win that game. I think they underachieved last year. They were 10-3, but I thought they might win the conference. I thought they actually might. But they actually finished 4th in the Mountain West Mountain. I'm gonna go CSU. Wins that game. I got them 3-1 in the conference. I'm getting crazy here, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm partial to Air Force, so I'm gonna go with the Falcons.
CSU at Wyoming. Now we don't know anything about Wyoming. No. We didn't know anything about him last year, though. They had a good running back, but
that didn't end up
And now he's gone. Wyoming was better than I thought they'd be. They ended up 7-6 on the season, 5-3. I like CSU this time around. They had a close game with them last year. I think CSU's more improved. Wyoming's losing a lot of players. I like CSU to win this game.
I agree with all those reasons, but this is in Laramie.
True.
And I'm going to give it to the Cowboys.
Then San Diego State comes to Fort Collins. San Diego State's talking about moving to the Pac-12. They got pressure on them to be great. I think San Diego State comes out ripping and roaring this year, actually. I'm going to say CSU loses. That's their second Mountain West conference loss.
I'm with you on that one.
Nevada, who's awful. Norvell's old team. CSU wins that game.
Yes.
Then at Hawaii. Also not great, but they're at Hawaii, though.
That's a tough situation. That's on Thanksgiving week. So obviously family issues or family stuff, whatever, and then traveling to Hawaii, adjusting to the time difference and the altitude difference. I still think CSU gets it done.
I do, too. So I have the Rams winning 8 games. No, that's not right. No, okay. Let me go back. Okay. Let me give a questionable one out. Air Force wins. Okay, so 7 wins.
Whoa, that's a lot, Brady.
Well, that is.
You're a homer right now.
7 wins, 1 game more than they need for a bowl. Yeah, I mean, but with Nevada's winnable, Hawaii's winnable, so I feel very good about that. Wyoming, I feel like it's going to be a close spread. I'm sticking with that one. I'll change my mind on Air Force. The UNLV game, I think they'll be better. I feel okay with this. I feel okay with this. Utah State, did I give them a win on that one? I gave them a win there, right?
I think so.
That's tough. That one could also maybe be interchangeable. But you know what? I'm sticking to my guns. 7 wins.
What'd you have last year?
I think I had them going undefeated. I think I said 8 wins last year. I was 5 away. 7, I feel good with. 7 wins. Okay.
I think they'll definitely be pushing for that 6-game, you know, mark to get.
You've got them. How many wins? You got them at 5 or 6?
I think 6.
Because you have them beating. You have them losing to Middle Tennessee. Is that right? 0-3?
Yes.
To start the season. But then you have them beating Utah Tech. You have them beating UNLV. You have them beating. Not Air Force, not Wyoming. Did you say San Diego State?
I have it 5 wins, but I'm still undecided on the CU one.
Okay, so you got them beating Nevada, you got them beating Hawaii.
You got UNLV.
UNLV.
Utah State and Utah Tech.
Okay. 5 wins is good. It's better than obviously last year. It's an improvement. But I think their goals are going to be much higher. I'm going 7 there. 7 wins for the Cup. Now, that's not official. It's not official yet. Again, I haven't even been to spring ball. You know, I got to get out to spring ball. 38 minutes after the hour. Because you learn a lot in spring ball. Like, it blows your mind how much you learn about teams in spring ball. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flag.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, we don't have to spend as much time here, but the Buff schedule is out too. What are we thinking there at TCU?
I'm going to say loss.
That's a loss. Nebraska?
That's a win.
That's a win. I'm with you. I've got them beating CSU, so they're 2-1. At Oregon. Oregon was pretty good last year. They were a 10-win team. Can the Buffs beat the Ducks? They're at Oregon, so no. So we've got them both. Both of us right on the same page here. 2-2. They're home against USC.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Yep. Mm-hmm. 2-3. At Arizona State.
That's a win.
Mm-hmm. Right there with you. Stanford?
Stanford Coach or Stanford?
Stanford.
Okay.
Did I say Stanford?
I don't know. I just making sure.
Well, there's no Stanford. Is there a Stanford in the Pac-12?
There is. Not in the Pac-12. No. There is a Stanford.
They're without their coach, new coach, all this stuff. The Buffs win.
Yeah.
UCLA. Is their quarterback coming back? He's coming back, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
Yeah. UCLA was really good last year.
Their quarterback's good. Yes. So that's a loss for the Buffs. I think, anyway.
Okay.
Then it's home against Oregon State.
That's a win.
Oregon State was much better. They were really good last year. It's home, though. Let me go with a loss on that one. Wow. Let me go with Oregon State to win that game. How many wins do we have now?
4.
I have them at 4. Arizona. 5-17 last year.
Yes.
I got you there. Go with you there. Washington State. I'm going to go dub. There's 6. You got your bowl game. You got them at 7. At Utah.
No.
Mm-mm. So I've got 6 wins for the Buffs. You got 7. That's
6 or 7.
Are we happy with that, Buffs fans?
Probably not.
Probably not. Not if you're thinking playoffs.
No, they're thinking 12-0, Pac-12 champ, first seed in the playoff, hosting a playoff game.
Is there any chance they beat TCU?
In their place, I don't think so.
I can't imagine. I just can't see it. No. Yeah, I'm gonna say that. Well, okay. Well, County Swami says Brady's drinking already on a Friday. Oh, for my 7 wins.
You're drinking something there.
That's a Dr. Pepper. Zero sugar.
Is that green or green and black?
Yeah. You ever seen these before?
Oh, that's brand new.
Mm-hmm. Fairly new. Damon, the boss here, had one, and I asked for it, and he said I could have it. Before you open it, I'm like, can I have
that? I didn't really ask. I just kind of he was about to drink it. I just kind of took it from him.
I saw where he went and grabbed it, and I went into the fridge. I was like, oh, that's where they are. So
there's
I snagged
no name
one.
Tag on it.
So. There was no name tag. So I kind of had it would be irresponsible not to take it.
Well, you don't want to leave it sitting in there all weekend.
No, and you want to teach a lesson, too. Write your name tag on your stuff. Unk texting in. No, we didn't get your email yet. And we're getting all your other texts. But for some reason, when you text your email, our text line spits it back out. We got March Madness to go, too. We got to get you signed up. We know we're going to be doing a watch party out at McCarty's Grill in Eaton. We're also going to be giving away a foursome of golf from the Eaton Country Club to the winner of this bad boy. And then the fame and the glory and everything that goes with it. I can't imagine anybody's going to beat me, though. I've watched a lot this year, so it's helped me in ways that you guys can't even imagine. So, what do you want to do a little trivia today? A texter or a caller calls in for some trivia?
Yes.
Any ideas?
I can think of one.
How many wins did Angel and I say the Rams are going to have? Angel had one prediction. I had another. Be the 5th texter to text that in on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Or you can call in 970-353-1310, and then we'll get you into our March Madness Challenge. Just tell Angel, how many wins do I have the Rams projected to win, and how many wins does Angel have the Rams projected to win. 970-353-1310, or you can shoot us a text at 888-530-0043. We want to get you guys in this thing, but we told you yesterday was the free pass. Today, we're going to make you work a little bit for it. So give us a call, 970-353-1310, or shoot us a text at 888-530-0043. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. We're going to switch gears here. We don't do this a lot, but we're going to talk some Battleground Pro Wrestling. We've got, listen, Tanner and Brian are building up Gino, I told you so, Rivera. I thought that was my guy. Apparently not. He went against me, so I'm going all in with Chameleon Vanish for this weekend's matchup at the Greeley Rec Center. We're going to interview him at 1 o'clock, and then we still have David Roddy coming up on the program as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to one of our great sponsors here, and that's Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. We all know about the road situation. It can get crazy out there. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane Doolin McQuinn and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Did Mysterio get it right? So he got you? He said Angel 6, Brady 7. You are still kind of going back and forth between the 5 and the 6, but you'll take that, won't you?
Yes, that is correct.
Mysterio, you won the prize. You can shoot your email address over right now via the text line, and we will get you in the mix for our whole show annual bracket challenge. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. To start the hour off, we're gonna get a little crazy here as we're going to talk about the big event going on with Battleground Pro Wrestling this weekend at the Greeley Rec Center. It's going to be fun, man. We're very excited to talk about this. It's a unique event unlike anything else you're ever going to see. Brian and Tanner interview Gino, I told you so, Rivera. We're going to interview Chameleon Vanish, who's taking him on for the main event coming up this weekend. So just kind of fun, man. And you know what? There's been some trash talk already delivered. We'll see how Chameleon responds to that on the other side. But it is March Radness on March 4th, which is tomorrow, Saturday night. Awesome opportunity to get out and meet the wrestlers early, too. 4:30 to 5:30, there's going to be a kind of a meet and greet. And I thought Gino was pretty good, man. A little scary. He was hopped up. He was ready to go. He's promoting the hell out of this thing. So we'll see how that goes on the other side. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our poll question today, big game tonight. Really looking forward to this one. The Denver Nuggets playing host to the Memphis Grizzlies. It's 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Denver's 44-19. The Grizz come in with a 38-23 record. And both teams have just been solid all season. And even with the stuff going on with Ja Morant and everything, the Grizzlies have still been able to put together some nice wins lately, beating Houston the other night. I think right after their Houston game, they flew to Denver early to try to acclimate to the altitude a little bit. They beat the Lakers the other night. And, of course, the three-game winning streak started with their 112-94 win over the Nuggets last weekend. So I think Denver's going to be coming out for blood tonight, man. I really believe that. You know, when you get stomped like that, it's hard to stomp a team like that twice. But this could be a potential Western Conference Finals matchup. Who do you got in the West? You agree with Chuck? That's going to be the Clippers?
Absolutely not. I'm leaning towards Phoenix right now. We'll see what happens with Golden State. I think it's going to depend on who you get matched up with, who's in that top half of the bracket with you.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, I think it's Phoenix right now, which would be, I think, their fourth.
Well, Curry's supposed to come back Sunday.
Yep.
So I think the Golden State Warriors are going to go on a run. They are a game behind Phoenix. They are four games behind Sacramento. Look out for Golden State to try to jump up and get into that top four, maybe even top three spot. You know, they looked great last night without Steph.
I think you would want them in the two or three.
Yeah.
You want to match up with the number four in the quarterfinals.
You want Golden State winning. I think if you're a Nuggets fan, you're rooting for Golden State right now. You just don't want to see them in the first round. I'm not saying they can't beat them. You're going to have to play the best teams anyway, but you just don't want to have to go through all that in the first round. Build that up a little bit as you get closer and closer to it. So I think Nuggets fans, I'm just going to tell you, root for the Golden State Warriors. You want them in the top. You want them moving up. So you need Denver to win against Memphis tonight, and then Steph Curry gets back in action on Sunday. They're on a back-to-back tonight, though. They play the Pelicans tonight. Golden State does. So you're rooting for them to win that game and then get Steph back into the fold. Busy 1 o'clock hour coming up. Tamillion Vanish, who's going to be wrestling at the Greeley Rec Center this weekend as a part of Battleground Pro Wrestling's March Radness. We'll talk to him next. That should be a lot of fun. David Roddy, rookie for the Memphis Grizzlies, still to come. We'll talk to him. All that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.